It is a busy Thursday at the Schubert Museum. A class of piano students is visiting from Viterbo University in La Crosse, Wisconsin, with their professor, Mary Ellen Haupert.
Take the moderator off. This is way too forceful the sound of this piece. Try with the bassoon.
Piano tuner Steve Meisner is also here.
Grab a couple tools here for me.
He travels all the way from Stockholm, South Dakota, to keep the museum's keyboards sounding their best.
This one's kind of an interesting piano. It's a Wurlitzer, kind of art, they call it Art Deco style, with the plexiglass stand on it and stuff. You know, it was a real kind of a modernistic kind of Empire State Building kind of design to it. So it's got this interesting cabinet parts. There is no lid and there's no rim around it and stuff, so it's this very exposed piano this way. So it's kind of a unique piece. They used this piano three weeks ago for a jazz festival and they really loved it.
Clavichords, harpsichords, and early piano fortes are all part of the Schubert Museum's collection. If you visit the museum, tour guide Edna Rask Erickson may invite you to place your hands on keys played by some very famous fingers. Known as the Berkstein piano, the instrument has quite a history.
The piano was owned by a man named John DeBoto, and he kept this piano in his summer home in Hungary. And during the years that he had the piano there, Brahms played it, Anton Rubinstein, Gustav Mahler, Franz Liszt, and then Bartok, Kodály, and Erno von Daniani.
Futuristic instruments are part of the collection, too. A cello with a harp jutting out of its center is on display in the Room of the Future. Its creator, Arthur Ferris, made it to communicate love. It requires two musicians to play. That is the sound of the tenorian. Visitors can compose their own melodies on the tenorian by inputting a simple melody. These Japanese synthesizers build on that melody with a light show to match. In the South Gallery, tour guide Sherry Ladegg shows me a music box from the Victorian era.
What you hear here is I am ratcheting this spring a little bit tighter, the stored energy in here, and we're listening to something from the magic flutes. The Victorians were great at this, at building really skilled clockwork things, but it is not a recording. It's a mechanical device that does the same thing over and over, and it made terrific after-dinner entertainment. They were not inexpensive. They did cost quite a bit of money. But as soon as the phonograph came in, people sort of abandoned these in droves. Now, it's not too much of an exaggeration to say that the phonograph is as big a deal 125 years ago as the internet is to us now. Of all of my inventions, I like the phonograph best, said Thomas Edison. And what I'm doing here as I wind up this handle is I'm tightening a spring that is going to run the turntable. That click was me turning the turntable. It's starting to revolve. I'm taking this handle here, lowering a diamond tip needle, which has never been changed, and I'm going to lower it. So you get that exotic Eastern sound. This is a foxtrot. It was a popular dance at the turn of the last century. And so in a minute when the horns stop doing their oriental thing, you hear. So it sounds very quaint and old-fashioned to us. It's got volume control. Just like that. We are now in a room that is full of instruments called gamelan. And gamelan is sort of the collective word for what these things are. These are gamels. They are hammers. Think of the word gavel. Take out V, put in M. You have two words that both mean hammer. And this refers to the fact that these are struck, mostly instruments. There are a few strings, a few flutes. Those are kind of like spices that are added.
Going from that hint of the East in the phonograph recording to the Indonesian gamelan in the next room seems like quite a leap. But this Eastern instrument inspired composers like Debussy and Ravel. Edna Rask Erickson.
They had come from Indonesia, and they were displayed at the World's Fair in Paris in about 1899. And it was at about that time that Debussy and Ravel came upon these instruments. It's not the Western scale tones of half and whole steps, but it's just whole steps. From that experience, they began to experiment with some of their compositions.
For KFAI, this is Maria Omley.
10,000 Fresh Voices on KFAI is made possible by listeners like you and the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.